What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. Amy, April Fish.
What? What are you talking about?
Do you know the history of April Fool's Day?
Not really, no.
Okay, so happy April Fool's Day, by the way.
Yeah, you too. It snowed here.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Yeah, I think we're in for some fun today. Well, okay, the whole story of April Fool's, for those who do not know it, we don't really know the definitive, absolute, true story of where the whole idea of April Fool's Day started, what the origins are, but some say it was related to a papal bull that was a decree from Pope Gregory the 13th, where he changed the first day of the year from late March and early April back to January 1st. That supposedly a lot of people, you know, obviously not a whole lot of communication, super fast communication back then, you know, it took a while for everybody to get to work.
Yeah, you couldn't send out a group text.
Yeah, right. Well, you could, it just, you know, it would take 3 months.
Right.
So people heard about it over time, and then people were resistant to it, and the people who didn't make the shift were eventually teased for not complying, and, you know, they would get, you know, dead fish sent to them in a package.
Ew.
April fish, ha ha ha. So April fish was actually a thing, and, you know, so jokes started. Now there's a lot of holes in that story, and there's a lot of people who don't think that's exactly what happened, but there is no real definitive, you know, story. We have a link in our show notes for if you want to actually read about the whole kind of history. So I thought it would be fun to talk about companies who have adopted the prankster mentality and done April Fool's ideas as part of their marketing.
Ah.
And, yeah, so from a brand perspective, as you can probably guess, we would not suggest that you do this as part of your brand strategy unless you're like a jester brand or maybe like an outlaw brand where you're trying to shake things up and do things unexpectedly. You know, if you go too far with this, then you can kind of be off brand. But a lot of people do it because it is kind of fun and, you know, that's what we're kind of talking about. So.
But what if you were the innocent brand and you did a very, like, innocent, low-key kind of prank, like something a little kid would do? Would that be,
I think,
could that
yeah,
be on brand? You could make that on brand, right?
Yeah, I think that you just have to be careful.
Right.
And again, we are big believers that 100% on brand is the correct thing to do. But, you know, you're going to hear about a lot of people who are not really truly jester brands that have tried to pull off practical jokes.
Oh, yeah. We've got a list of some crazy things people did.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, yeah.
So, got to ask, do you and your family play jokes on each other?
Yeah, we have in the past. I wasn't very creative this year because we're getting ready to go camping, so I was more focused on that. But we've done...
Hold on. Oh, camping?
Yeah.
If the weather's like there, like it is here, we got almost a quarter inch of snow last night. And I woke up, yeah, April freaking Fool's.
Oh, come on,
are you kidding me?
Right. Well, we have an RV and a heater. And it's supposed to be nice this weekend. So I actually like to go camping when it's a little bit cooler. It more. Yeah. But it's like our maiden voyage for the year. We're not going far. We just test out, make sure everything's working okay and all that. So.
Yeah. Get ready for the real summer.
Yeah. So when my kids were like younger, I would, if April Fool fell on a day that was like the weekend, I would get them up for school. I've done that. I've made like weird food that looked like other food.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I've done things like that. But there was one time at work when I used to work in an office with a cube farm. I went around and I turned everybody's mouses off. Like from the bug. Because most people don't do that, right?
Yeah,
so right. I just went and did everything, turned them all off. I've done stuff like that. But I haven't done anything in a while. I haven't been very creative.
Well, I know you've heard the stories a little smattering here and there when they've happened over the years, but Francie, my wife, is an April Fool's Day. She's a Jedi master. She is like masterful at it. And the thing is, they're so creative and so in depth and involves so many people that there's no way to predict what's coming at you. And so it is getting trickier for her. You know, we've been married for 11 years now, and so, you know, I have to combine that with the fact that I usually forget what day it is, and I'm a pretty trusting guy to begin with. So she doesn't just get me to take the bait or the hook, line, and sinker. I usually just eat the whole damn rod and reel and the whole boat and half the lake, and I just it's a really, really, really ugly kind of combination of hilarious and sad and pathetic.
So. Yeah, but you've got great stories because of it. It's awesome.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the listeners are called, just to kind of give you the depth of what I go through each year.
Set the stage.
I have no idea what is facing me today. Mm-hmm. And I try to prepare myself. I really do. I try to prepare myself. Here's an example. This one happened 2 years ago. And I was fully, like, hypersensitive radar. And it just, okay. One of our neighbors who happens to be an environmental studies professor at a local college, she and her husband dropped by our house. We were going to go out for dinner. I just completely had forgotten, you know, that April Fool's was going on. I was, like, super focused on seeing stuff in the house earlier that day. But when they drop by, they're standing in the foyer, and Francie's still getting ready, and we're just chit-chatting. And she tells me about, hey, did you hear about the groundwater contamination? I'm like, no, what's going on? He goes, oh, yeah, and she's just deadpan straight-faced, telling me the story about how a local manufacturing company had spilled a barrel, and the groundwater had, and she, of course, she has all the chemical names and stuff. Sounds totally legit. And she says, well, they don't know how big the plume is or how big the remediation project's going to be, but they figure our neighborhood and the next one over, it's going to probably cost $10,000 to $15,000 per household. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this is terrible. And like, and we can't use our well. We can't use water. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like right out of Flint, right? And so they dragged that on and on and on. And then Francie came downstairs and walked over to them and put her arms around them. April Fool's. Oh my God.
At least she didn't let you think it all evening.
Yeah, true. It was, but they had me going for, you know, a good 7 or 8 minutes, and going into the in-depth of the, you know, oh my gosh, you know, hexafluoral benzene aromatic hydrocarbon, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God.
It's in the details. The more like detailed you get, the more believable it is. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, the other really, really good one was we were visiting a friend of ours in Huntington Beach, California, and I used to live in California for a decade and a half, you know, so I'm pretty familiar with what goes on there, and even in the Los Angeles area, where our friend was on his phone, and we're getting ready to go out to a bar, and he says, hey, maybe we should be wearing our running shoes, and Francie says, well, why? He goes, well, so we can get out of a building really fast. She's like, why would we need to get out of a building really fast? She goes, well, I got this app on my phone, and it's supposed to be pretty good at detecting earthquakes. And it says that we're supposed to have an earthquake today. And I immediately go, no, 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 no. Francie immediately starts to freak out. Like, it says it's going to happen tonight. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. And Shen says, yes, that's what it says. She's like, oh, we got to get out of here. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. This isn't real. And they go on and just dragging me along. Hook, line, and sinker, baby. And I could not figure out how is it possible that I cannot explain to two intelligent people that this is not real?
Right.
Oh, so I'm on year 11.
Right.
But 8 out of the 10 years, last 10 years.
Yeah, now you got me thinking because Chris and the kids are going to go ahead of me to the campsite and set up the RV and stuff. I'm going to do some work and then meet them later. So I could do something. I got to think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about company pranks today, and if you'd like to find out more about these specific things that we're talking about, we're going to put links in the show notes to each of the ideas, and so you can get a little bit more in-depth in the story, because some of them are pretty darn funny, yeah. Right? So, why don't you get us started, Amy?
Yeah, so this is one of my favorites, and my kids actually still do this. So, I mean, even though, like you said, April Fool's has been a thing for like 500 years or so, but as you'll hear in just a bit, companies have been pranking their customers for a lot of years as well. And the first really big internet prank played by a company was none other than YouTube. And they've kind of set the bar. They've done a few things that we'll get into. Mm-hmm. But this first one, will likely be seen as the granddaddy of all internet pranks. So, yeah. It probably doesn't need to be explained. Most people know about this, but I will just briefly tell you. So, basically, it's getting Rickrolled. And that's when you provide a link to someone for a video you want them to watch. But instead of the video they expect, you send them to a video of Rick Astley singing, "You're Never Gonna Give You Up." Right, so you Rickrolled.
And it's going through my head right now.
I know, right? And then they get stuck in your head, yeah.
That's right. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So this meme was a thing at the time, but it wasn't widely known by the masses. And so then on April 1st, 2008, YouTube Rickrolled the world by having every featured video clicked in the YouTube display going to that Rick Astley video.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So that was so crazy.
There was some reason why we needed to be pulling up videos for business, because it was, you know, during business hours when we figured it out. And it was one of our programmers like, "What? What?" And then I jumped in and it's like, "No, something's messed up." Right. What? Then it dawned on us what was going on.
Yeah.
April Fool's, right?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't, you know, so here you pulled up the granddaddy. And again, there's a lot of internet stuff that did happen before that, but I agree with you that that's got to be like the granddaddy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So one of the funnier ones, and I didn't realize it until I started researching the notes for this podcast. Way back in 1957, the BBC. Now, this is one where you are definitely going to want to go and watch the video for this, because it's 1957. It's black and white, and it's got the British commentator on the border of Switzerland and Italy. Yeah, so right. It has that kind of sound to it, right? So it was a current affairs program, kind of a travel thing called Panorama, and they presented this little 3-minute short bit, a human interest story showing this Swiss family harvesting spaghetti from their spaghetti tree. The abundance of the crop was attributed to the decline of the dreaded spaghetti weevil and the moderate temperatures that they were experiencing that year.
So funny. It's so good. And so well done.
And apparently I didn't realize this, but actually spaghetti was not, you know, even in the 50s, it was not this widely known thing. Mm. And so people, I mean, they knew about it, but they just, it's not like they were eating it. You know, people from halfway around the world weren't eating an Italian food like spaghetti.
It wasn't a staple, right?
Right. So people actually believe that one. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I found one that speaks to my heart because I am left-handed. So the world,
I know where you're going.
I know. So the world is, you know, difficult for us left-handers, and a lot of people think that we're clumsy, but it's not that we're clumsy. It's that the world is right-handed. Or at least that's the excuse I give. Mm-hmm. So Burger King gave a shout out to all of us lefties. In 1998, they made an announcement that they were making an accommodation for, at the time, the 32 million left-handed people in the world, by creating a left-handed burger.
Oh, yeah.
So their shtick about this was that all the condiments were rotated 180 degrees, shifting the weight so as not to have everything fall out of the right side of the burger, apparently. And I can attest to this, that this is a problem for us left-handed people. So, yeah. So, and then Jim Watkins, SVP Marketing, was quoted as saying it was the ultimate in having it your way.
Yeah, of course it was. Of course. That's so funny. Okay, so kind of along the lines of that, we have another physical one. In 2013, Google, this is actually one of my favorite because it's just so sensory and it's kind of cute. Google announced a new product. Now, if you think about how many products Google has, it's just Google Maps and Google Calendar and Google everything, right? Google does everything. So just before midnight on March 31st, they touted a revolutionary change to the search experience. And tapping into the sense of smell, they called it Google Nose.
Google Nose.
So somehow they would use technology to temporarily align molecules to emulate a particular scent. And they had Google engineers talking about this, and they had UX designers talking about it. And it really, they had enough of that. You know, that sense that, you know, that little bit of truth, right? Yeah.
Techie the, speak.
Yeah. So I think they should still try this one. I think I would be up for actually this being a real thing. But it's not, sadly.
Smell your way through the internet. Oh, I'm not sure I want that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that could be dangerous. Yeah, unexpected search results.
right. Yeah, that same year, 2013, another YouTube, They were part of a practical joke that, like you said, there's always an element of truth in things, and then when you throw in a lot of stats and things that are believable, it just you know, it's easier to get people to buy into it. So right. They announced that the first 8 years of their existence was simply a contest to find the best video in the world, and yeah. The contest was deemed over at midnight. And they would terminate 30,000 YouTube employees, and all the videos on the platforms would be deleted, but the winner wouldn't be announced until 10 years later in 2023.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So we're only a couple of years away. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They brought in tons of people to talk about it, including a drugged up kid. You know, after he went to the dentist, you know, you've seen those videos. Of
those kids. I've seen them.
The Charlie bit my finger kids. And it was so believable that a lot of people just freaked out and they thought that YouTube was going to be deleted.
Yeah. Oh, that's so mean. I know. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to, you know, let's, instead of telling the full stories here, I know we have a whole bunch more here. So let's, how about one of my kind of faves, again, cutesy. 2018, eHarmony announced they were expanding their services to include pets, specifically a whole section on their site for dating for your dog.
Nice. I love those memes when people take pictures of their animals and they're like, oh, my dog's dating app profile picture. They're like lounging or whatever. So funny.
This just hit the top of my head. There was a part, it was an April Fool's prank. It was a dating app for cows. For your guys, for, you know, because farmers, they have the exact same problem as the rest of us pet owners. You know?
So funny, cows. Yeah. The same year, 2018, Tesla shares dropped by 5% when Elon Musk announced that the company was going through chapter 14 and a half bankruptcy, the worst of the bankruptcy chapters.
I think, if I remember right, the shares came back almost like 4.5% the next day or something like that. I remember hearing about this just a few years ago.
I bet he did not anticipate that share thing.
Oh, I'm sure he did, but he doesn't really care.
Right, that's true. He probably doesn't. Yeah.
Right.
2015, Amazon rolled back its site design and made the site look a la 1999. So now that doesn't sound like a huge jump, 16 years, but think lots and lots of text with blue underlined hyperlinks.
Oh, gosh. People have something wrong with their eyes.
It's like, oh, my God, my browser's broken. Something's wrong.
Right? Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. That's Google played Pac-Man on Google Maps. And it was, like, zooming up and down the streets, gobbling up things along the way. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, especially the fun, the sounds. Waka, waka, waka. Waka, waka, waka. Okay, so last one that I've got on my list is when Samsung released a product for their chefs, the world's first smart knife. It was kind of like a cleaver-like big knife with a built-in phone. Wait, what could go wrong?
Why? That's
people such a holding cleavers up to their face.
It's such a weird pairing. It seems like something on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, kind of strange. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see if YouTube tries to pull something off today.
Yeah.
And I am wish me luck on my own.
Yes, yes. Don't be too gullible.
Oh, yeah. I will more than likely be just that.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, you have to text me and tell me what happens.
Okay. If you have any questions, give us a call. If you want to let us know if you need help with the branding of your new electric shiatsu bathtub, give us a call. Yeah, that could be a real thing, right?
Yeah.
No?
Seems a little dangerous.
Could be. Right. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and all the other social platforms. Thanks, Amy. It was a lot of fun today.
Yep. Happy April Fools, everyone.
April Fish. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.